Greetings. Welcome to Average Joe's Fantasy. I am your host, Steve Nordeig, and we are in the home stretch of the fantasy baseball season. We are doing our podcast today from the luxurious comfort of my vehicle overlooking Lake Makatawa, which is right next to a giant recycling plant. So if you hear some heavy machinery, just imagine pretty much a hellish environment just across the river from me. So where do we begin here? Let's see. Let's give a little update here. The two teams that I drafted. Well, before we start that, please, I'd love to hear from you guys about how your teams are doing. Any good trades that you've made, any good pickups that you've made. Maybe even some advice you've taken of mine that has worked out or not worked out. I'd love to hear all that too. And we'll feature it on our next episode here. You can contact me by emailing at avgjoesfantasy@yahoo.com. avgjoesfantasy@yahoo.com. And we're also on Twitter as well, Average Joe's Fantasy. So, if you message me, I'll reply. You can also ask questions about baseball, about waivers. And we also do a football podcast, so you can email me about football as well. Now, let's get into it here. The two teams that I drafted live at the beginning of the year, or before the season even started, Tals Hill and Eggs Odorizzi. Tals Hill has risen from the depths of last place, and we're now in fifth. 75 points. We are 3 points away from third and 5 points away from second. So we are within striking distance of cash. We're not going to get first. The guy in first has like 98 points. But we are right there. You know, there's still 6 weeks left or so of the season, and we have every shot, every opportunity to win. And I'll tell you how I've been able to rise up as well. Eggs Odorizzi's also risen. It's at 63.5 points now, eighth place. It was up to fifth. I don't know if that team's going to have enough to make it to the finish line in cash. I'm 12 points out of third. That's a pretty tall order. It's not impossible, but we're going to need some breaks going our way. Now, in Tals Hill was worse. Eggs Odorizzi had been hovering around 8th, 9th, 10th, and Tals Hill was down there at 11th and 12th before we really really started to make this push. Also, I have two other roto teams that are in first, and I have 6 head-to-head teams, and 5 of those 6 are either in first or second or third or whatever. They're all in the top half and in playoff position. So we're doing all right. I'd like to see a little better results out of the roto teams, but, you know, it is what it is. Some of the players weren't great this year, and Joey Votto just killed me. So, some of the things that I've done to get Tals Hill back into contention, you gotta look. If your team is struggling, look where you can make up some easy points. Tals Hill was like 6 steals out of like 4 points. You know, so if I get 6 steals, I move up 4 or 5 spots. They were also behind a little bit in wins and in saves. You know, of course, it need players to turn it around and start hitting, which has happened. Some of my hitters have started to do better. But these steals have really been able to help. I've taken points away from the guys on top, and I've been able to, you know, climb up a little bit. So instead of being in, like, a number, like, a three or four in steals, now I'm, like, an 8 or a 9, and I'm not that far back from the guy in front of me either. I picked up Billy Hamilton on waivers just for steals. I hate Billy Hamilton. I've said it from the beginning. I hate Billy Hamilton. But that dude can steal, and he's gotten me like 8 steals. So I climbed up like 4 or 5, maybe even 6 spots in steals. I can't recall. But I've also bumped some teams down, so that really helped. Now, another thing you can do, you know, apart from steals is one way, because there's not that many steals. You know, the league leader in steals may have like 100, 120. I mean, if a guy goes all in on steals and he's got, the top 3 guys, he's going to have like 120 steals. But a normal league winner probably have 100. So if you're in 80s, 90s in steals right now, I mean, you're going to be the top half of that category. But you're going to be able to move, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 spots just within a few steals. So look for guys on waivers who maybe have that potential and run them in there. Try to climb up those specific categories. You know, go category hunting and try to really bump yourself up a few spots. Another place you can do that is wins. Wins are, you know, the same as steals. There's not that many wins. And, you know, the win the win totals are going to be anywhere from like 100, like right now, 100 to like 80. So if you move up 5 wins, you can move up like 5 points or 4 points, you know, and you're going to be knocking off guys ahead of you. So look for categories like wins, like steals. Another one is saves. And right now, this is the save season. The trade deadline came, and the waiver deadline is coming. You're going to have more closers moving. Look for guys who are in position to set people up. You know, grab as many guys as you can. I mean, the other roto team that I have in first, it was dead last in saves. I didn't have any closers at all. I traded them all away before the season started. I made one trade for Felipe Vasquez, and I've been able to pick up like 6 more. So right now I have like 2 starting pitchers starting, and the rest of my pitching spots are filled with closers. So I'm climbing up. I am a 3 now. So I climbed up 2 points, and I'm only like 10 saves out of the next category up. And then once I get to the next spot, it's like another 2 or 3. So I'm within striking distance of those as well, as long as my guys maintain, you know, their closer positions. But those are positions that you can win. I mean, that league right now that I'm in first, I have 87 points, and the guy behind me has like 86.5. So those 2 or 3 points that I'm going to get with saves can really help out. You know, you're looking at winning leagues here. So wins, steals, saves, those are the 3 easiest places to move up. You know, target those categories. You know, sit down a guy who has no speed and will hit a couple home runs a month. Pick up a guy who's going to get a couple steals, you know, or 6 steals a month, or 7 steals a month. Run them in there, you know, as long as they don't kill you everything else. But somebody like Travis Jankowski, Billy Hamilton, those dudes will be able to pick you up some steals and move you up into contention, or at least, you know, get you within striking distance. Because really, if you're within striking distance going into the last couple days, you can make that big, massive jump. And by doing that, you're going to be bombing starters. This is something that I do every year, and it's funny, it always ends like this. I'll have teams that go all year long, and I'm a point out of third, or I'm in third by 1 point, and I'm trying to get to second or first, and I never seem to reach my innings limit. So right now, this month, next month, I'll be adding more starters than usual. I'll be streaming more than I usually do just to fill up, you know, my innings limits. And I'm picking up guys who I think are going to win. I'm not just going to pick up anybody because I don't want to kill my ERA and WHIP. But I also have 2 teams that are pretty much dead last in pitching. My other roto team that's in first was dead last in pitching all year. They have terrible pitching. At the deadline, I traded Arenado and ended up with Kluber and Syndergaard to help. But I'm also 40 innings behind or 50 innings behind, so I'm also cycling in guys. And when you're that bad, when your pitching's that bad, it doesn't matter who you pick up. If they get hammered, you're still last in pitching. So you're trying to pick up wins there and pick up strikeouts there. Because strikeouts, you can move up in that category, but it's just harder. There are, you know, thousands of strikeouts that your team's going to have. Whereas wins, you're only going to have 80 or 90 or 100 or something like that total, you know. So by doing the bombing the starter method, I'll tell you how to do it here, and in the next episode I'll cover it as well before the season's over. You get a max number of innings. 1,400 innings is what Yahoo gives you. Every league is going to have, you know, a max innings, just so you don't pick up every starter every week and completely bomb every category in pitching. So if you reach 1,400 innings exactly, all your pitchers are worthless. If you reach 1,401, they credit you for that extra inning. So what I like to do is heading into the last week, but definitely the last week of the season, there's going to be people that are dropping starters. I'm going to pick them up. And within the last couple days, I'll drop all my closers. I'll drop all the starters that aren't pitching. And I'll have 8 starting pitchers going. You know, I'll have every pitching spot will be filled with a starter who's pitching that same day. And a lot of them are, you know, some of them are going to be crappy, but I'm looking for the right day. I want to have a couple of my aces go to try to balance it out. I'm going to have relief pitcher / SPs going so I can put them in the relief pitcher spots. And I'm going to rack up like an extra 50 or 60 innings. All those innings count. So if you get 50 or 60 innings and you get like a 9 ERA, well, you're going to lose points in those categories. But if you're already struggling in those categories, go for it. Because I'll tell you what, I think it was 2 years ago, I jumped 7.5 points or 8.5 points. I was 4th, and I jumped to 1st with 7.5 or 8.5 points. And I hadn't been in the money all year until that last day, which is pretty remarkable. So it can be done. And I do it every year where I jump from 5th into 3rd or from 4th into 2nd. It happens all the time. And I've also had one where I was in second and I dropped to fourth because they got annihilated. So, you know, you got to be careful with that. If you're first in pitching, don't do that. You know, don't risk all these ERA and WHIP spots to move up 1 point. But if you're fourth overall and you're first in pitching, but you have, you know, the right number of, if you're on pace for 1,400 innings, go for it. If you're going to be fourth anyway, go that. Who cares? You know, maybe, you know, if you have eight guys starting, you pick up three or four wins, that could bump you up 1 or 2 points. You might be able to bump yourself up in one, you know, one strikeout point. So you can realistically go 2 to 4 points just with a one day bomb. And that'll get you from, you know, in my leagues here with Talis Hill, I'm 3 points behind. I can easily get to second place. Exodo Rizzi's too far. I mean, I might be able to jump 12 points, but if I can get within five, if you can get within 5 points, you can make a realistic jump into the money. If the bomb goes correctly. You know, if it doesn't, it doesn't, and, you know, whatever. But you're probably not going to lose on many ERA points because the ERAs are kind of spread out anywhere from like 2.9 or 2.8 up to like 4.5. WHIP points are where you're going to lose it. Because if you look at your WHIP categories and all your league mates, the league leader in WHIP is going to have like 1.12. The guy who's last is going to be like 1.23. And everybody in the middle, they're going to all bunch together. There's going to be like eight teams that are like 1.18 to 1.23. And there's going to be a couple that are really elite that you can't get. But a good, successful bomb can bounce you from 1.23 to 1.21, and you can hop two or three guys. Or it can bump you from 1.18 to 1.21 or 1.22 and bump you back 3 points, you know? So it really depends on where you are in the positions, how many points you realistically want to jump. So you got to start monitoring this now. Monitor where you are in wins. Monitor where you are in strikeouts. Before you do this bomb, think, if I run eight guys out there and I get 5 wins, best case scenario, how am I going to do? If I get 1 win, how am I going to do? If I go out and get, you know, 8 starts and end up with 50 strikeouts, is that going to move the needle at all or not? If you're not going to make any progress, then don't risk your WHIP category points. But I'll tell you what, you can realistically make these jumps. And, you know, you may have a great day. I mean, that team that went from like, went up 7.5 or 8.5 points to get first, I improved like 2 or 3 WHIP points, 2 or 3 win points, and I think 2 or 3 strikeout points. So it really was great because I had like 8 dudes that all pitched their tails off, and you know, it was a nice morning to wake up to and see that I was in first. So that's one thing you're looking to do near the end of the year. You know, the bombing the starter strategy, I do it every year, and I'll do it again this year on most of these teams. Make sure, no matter what, you have to max out your innings. I mean, unless you're in first, if you're in first place right now, and your ERA and WHIP, you know, leading the league, and you're fine, then I wouldn't do it, just because I wouldn't want to risk it. But anywhere else, I'm going to add starters, and I'm going to go over that limit. I'm done it every year. I'm going to at least go 5 or 10 innings over, at least. I'm just not going to give away those extra wins. Because like I said, 1 win or 2 wins could, you know, bounce you a couple points. And now I got some jack wad and this giant diesel truck pulling right next to me. All right. So, really important. Pay attention to your wins. Pay attention to your steals, where you are. Target these categories. Saves are a little bit more difficult because there's not just closers laying around, but you're going to have to, you know, proactively go out and pick up these guys. Also, for all of your batting spots, you're going to max out them as well. First base, it's easy. Second base, you know, you have 162 games, it's easy. Utility and outfield gets a little more tricky. So I do the same thing with those spots as I do with pitching. I'll wait until a good day, either the last day of the season or one of the last days of the season. I'll make sure I have one game left for my 3 outfield spots, and I'll play 3 outfielders. Then I'm going to get 2 extra games. So instead of having 162, I'll have 164, and those games count. Same for utility. I'll wait until I have 1 utility spot left, and then I'll play 2 guys, and then I'll get 1 extra utility spot. All those things matter, especially when you're talking about steals. You know, runs, RBIs, those are pretty spread out, and generally it doesn't come down to 1 RBI or 1 run. It can come down to 1 steal. Batting average, maybe. Those are pretty spread out. It's kind of like ERA. You could make a jump in one of those categories if you're really close to one person, but you're not going to jump 3 or 4 or 5 points just because you have an extra couple games. Those generally don't happen. And now, a word from our sponsor. Average Joe's first sponsor, Double J's Crab Shack. And I'm a little nervous here. I've never done an ad before, so let me just read it off the paper like they gave to me. Double J's Crab Shack. If you're in the mood for crabs, why go out to some seedy part of town? Double J's is the place to go. Or order online and have these little finger-snapping machines mailed directly to your home, villa, or trailer. And Double J's crabs aren't just tasty little snacks. If your kids are like mine and love bath time so much that they won't get out, or if you are a, I don't know how to say it, a conservationist, and you really hate wasting water, then throw two or three of these little suckers in there, and I guarantee Junior will learn his lesson, and two-minute showers will be on the menu from then on. So, order now, and you'll have crab legs by Sunday at www.imadeallthisnonsenseup.com.org. And yes, I did spend way too much time making up that fake advertisement. But hopefully you guys thought it was real for a few minutes and had a little chuckle. Anyways, let's get back to serious business here. Heading in to the final couple months, it's going to take a lot of work to get you up into the money. I mean, not every team that you draft is going to be successful. Lord knows I have a few that aren't doing very well. But you can climb. I mean, if you've listened to these podcasts since the beginning of the year until now, you've seen both teams that I drafted have sucked badly. They were not drafted very well, and the trades that I've made have been pretty crappy. You know, the results have been not what I was hoping for. I haven't really hit any home runs. I haven't hit any lotto tickets here with any of these guys that I've traded for, unfortunately. But, you know, the stars that I didn't give up on, like Paul Goldschmidt and Giancarlo Stanton, those guys are heating up. I mean, Stanton's one of the top players now. And, you know, me being able to trade for him early, traded him for Mitch Haniger straight up. I mean, that's a phenomenal deal. In my other league that I'm in first in my Roto League, I have Goldie, and I hung on to him. And he's paying off. He's been crushing the last few months. Other leagues, the ones that are struggling, I did not trade Votto, and I traded for Votto. And he has just been horrible. Absolutely horrible. Some of the waiver wire pickups I've made have been some of the best ones, you know, that I could have. You know, guys like Ronald Acuna, he was dropped, picked him up. Whereas other guys like Chris Archer, who I picked up and thought that'd be a great pickup, have just been terrible. So it's going to require a lot of work on your part during these last 6 weeks here, especially the last 2 weeks, because during these last couple weeks, you're going to have teams that are going to max out. I mean, I'm sure that you've seen in your leagues where there are teams starting injured players. Those guys are done. They've been done for a little while, and, you know, that's why it's so important to get on them early. Fleece them early. I mean, trade with them early, and reap the rewards while they drop out in June. But now, yep, go ahead, cut that lawn right in front of me. Yep, while it's raining. That's great. Podcast going on here, pal. Anyways, these guys are going to drop out, so you don't have to worry about them at all. But guys who have been paying attention, especially teams that have been cycling in their players, they are going to max out their innings. Let's just go ahead and roll up the old windows here on the Ford POS, because we don't need Mr. Lawnmower to interfere with this little gem about to drop on you here. During these last 2 weeks, you're going to see top flight pitchers get dropped. You're going to see, you know, Bumgarners. You're going to see Blake Snells. You're going to see, you know, every pitcher is going to get dropped eventually. And some of them are going to start earlier than others because teams are going to max out, or they're going to get close to the max out and just want to have dominant relievers to get their last few innings in. They're not going to understand the whole point about bombing the last few days or the last day. So they're going to cut bait. They're going to pick up hitters. They're going to pick up relievers to try to help their ERA and whip, which is fine. It's one strategy. But keep your waiver positions open. Don't go claiming, you know, Stephen Piscotty if he gets dropped. Keep your waiver wire position high, because when Madison Bumgarner gets dropped with one or two starts left, you want to be the guy that gets him, because you want to have those top quality starters for their final start. So you can put them all together, bomb a day, and move up. It's really important. I can't stress it enough. It seems kind of crazy that someone would drop these pitchers. You know, I'm going to drop all my starters eventually, or most of my starters, the ones that aren't pitching, when they have no starts left. And I'll drop all my closers probably within, you know, 2 days from the end of the season, so nobody has a chance to pick them up off waivers. But you're going to have other teams that do the opposite. They're going to start dropping them beginning of September, end of August. You know, certainly the beginning of September. You're going to start seeing, like, wow, the guy's the 12th best starter. What's, why is he getting dropped? Well, that team's going to be either close to maxing out or has maxed out, and they don't need a starter anymore, and they're just going to cut bait. So go ahead and pick them up. I mean, if it's a great starter, I mean, if it's Bumgarner on September 1st, pick him up. But if it's, I don't know, I can't think of anybody that's kind of marginal. If it's Sean Manea from Oakland, I wouldn't waste a waiver pickup on him. I mean, he's been really good. But if he gets dropped on September 1st, I'd hold off. Maybe he clears, you know, but I wouldn't waste that spot on him. I would hold that spot a week or 2 weeks until Chris Sale gets dropped or Max Scherzer gets dropped or one of these really elite pitchers gets dropped because the other team's maxed out. Of course, now that I've said that and told you what to do, it's probably going to go the other way because that's what always happens, but that's my experience in baseball. The last week, for sure, you're going to have all these amazing starters on waivers, and you're going to be able to pick them up for their final starts. But you're going to see some drop the second, you know, 2 weeks left or 3 weeks left, too, because teams are going to max out early. Those are the teams that you're looking to leapfrog in wins. Anybody that finishes with 1,401 innings, they're asking to be leapfrogged. So keep your eyes out for these pitchers. Keep vigilant on the waiver wire. If you're behind a couple points in steals, really see who you're behind. I mean, one of the teams that I passed in steals was a guy who was like in 11th, who's not even playing their team anymore. So it was easy. I pick up Billy Hamilton, I get a couple steals, now I'm move up a point. A couple more steals, I hop up somebody else that's also given up. So you can, if I hadn't, I'd still be back there. I'd still be 2 points behind or 3 points behind or whatever, and be struggling. But keep an eye on who's got what, where you sit in these categories. RBIs and runs, yeah, that's fine. But if you're 50 runs behind right now, I mean, there's really no point targeting runs with 6 weeks left if you're 50 behind. But wins, you're not going to be 50 wins behind, and you're not going to be 50 stolen bases behind unless you have absolutely nobody on your team that can run. But even then, the guy in front of you is also going to have anybody on the team that can run, so you may be able to reach him. Just like on my roto team when I didn't have any closers. I had like 13 saves. The next guy above me had 19. The next guy had 20. And the guy who had 20 was in like second. So I trade for Felipe Vasquez. I pick up a couple on waivers. Now all of a sudden I have those two guys. And the guy who is, I think, somebody else is in the top half of the league is the next guy on my list. Steals with Tals Hill, that has been great. Because we had like six or seven teams within like five or six steals, which is pretty remarkable. So if Billy Hamilton goes on a run, and he's been hitting pretty good, you know, for him anyway, I can move up 6-7 points just in steals. And of course I'll bomb starters at the end of the year and hopefully move up in wins as well. So there you go. That's our home stretch podcast for you. I hope you gained something out of it. I hope some of you guys are able to take some of this advice and leap into the money. I mean, right now it's all about the money. We're not worried about first place. We're worried about getting third. And that's the goal of any team you have right now that's in sixth or seventh. The goal should be third place. Win a little bit back. You know, get your buy-in back or get a little bit more back, because you're not getting anything for sixth. You're not getting anything for fifth or fourth. So use these strategies to jump into that money. Get that third place. Get that second place maybe. Because right now, I mean, there's no more trades. There's just not a lot of big things you can do to make your team better. But using these strategies, you can make not only some money, but you can make the last few weeks enjoyable as well. Again, please email me or message me on Twitter, avgjoesfantasy@yahoo.com. Let me know what kind of trades have you made. I'd love to hear it. Give a little feedback on it. Maybe you didn't take my advice and it worked out, or maybe you traded for Joey Votto and hate my guts. Either way, I'd love to hear it. And good luck on the rest of the season. Average Joes, out!